heard a lot of lessons, and there have been classes before on stewardship. A lot of times, those involved being good stewards of the gospel or of our money, some of time, but stewardship's involved everything in our life that we do. It's just not limited to those particular things. And we have, even maybe in the church, a misunderstanding of a stewardship, what a steward is. I was often thinking this morning of this. If anyone ever watched this Christmas story, it comes on every year at Christmas. As the young little fella is under the Christmas tree and he's grabbing those toys, he says, "Oh boy, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine." And that's kind of how people look at the things that they possess today, that what they have is theirs. But it's not. And so that misapplication of how we do things, when we look at our government, all that things is out of control as far as spending, they keep printing enough money to keep up what's being spent. And it's even so in our lives, maybe in our lives today, the things that we possess of what we do and how we use our money is kind of like the government. You often see probably a lot even at the house, the kids and so on. There's toys that's bought one time, used one time, and looking for another. Just this continual thing of all of this. And sometimes it's a lot easier for parents just to buy toys and shut the kid up and then discipline. And so they deal with that from that aspect. When you look at entitlements, people say that, you know, I deserve it. I looked at one on YouTube, a woman had 15 children. Well, now who's going to take care of her kids? This entitlement aspect to it, that they deserve this. I'm going to say that's kind of what the government is. You deserve certain things. You deserve to have free education. You just deserve this stuff. In reality, we don't deserve nothing. But that's kind of the attitude that you have today, this chaos in the world, that even in our homes and everywhere of this type of attitude. You know, I deserve this stuff in life. I've heard people say, I deserve this watch. And so they buy it. They'll spend an extraordinary amount of money, $300 or $400, for a watch that may look good, but there's no better time than one that costs $25. So this idea that I deserve things in life is misapplication. We own nothing in this life. We don't deserve nothing in this life. We are given something this life to take care of. And again, it's in all aspects of our life. It's just not limited to that we're being good stewards of God's Word. But to me, if you want to talk about being a steward, that would be the number one. Because if we're stewards of God's Word and follow God's Word, it'll cover every other stewardship that we have in life. It's governed by that, how we handle God's Word. It's not only of time or of money, but when I ask you, are we good stewards of the environment? What do you think? Are we to be good stewards of taking care of animals? What would you think? But people rarely ever look at that. But in every aspect of things that we do in this life, we're to be stewards of. And God has given us patterns to how to do that. When you look, if I asked you what determines a good steward, what would you say? Mark, what would make you a good steward? Larry, what would make you a good steward? Garrett, Dewey, Duke, Dove, what would make you a good steward?
Trustworthy person who would take care of something for another, which would be God in this case, that would protect you.
But what would make you do that? What would make you do that?
So you're being a servant.
Yeah, what would make you be that good servant?
Love and obedience.
When you turn to 3 John chapter 2, this verse we'll refer to, I think here describes what a steward should be. What will determine who is a good steward, and is this verse here would it describe us. John here writing in verse 1 says, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. To the extent that you be in good health, you prosper in all things as your what prospers? As your soul prospers. So as our soul prospers, it's going to determine how I use my abilities. It's going to determine how I spend money. I'm to spend money in accordance to how my soul prospers. It's not to be out of balance. My soul, if it's prospering, if God's Word dwells in me, it's going to determine those things I do. The law, you know, that's out of kilter a little bit a lot of times because people's souls are not prospering. But everything else is. But it talks about that we're to be to prosper in all things in this life as our soul prospers. We're to be in good health. I'm not saying we don't get sick in this. I'll try to explain what this verse is as far as talking about it. We know that we can do things in this life that are detriment to our health. You can get out and drink, you can drug abuse, whatever you want to look. You can drive reckless. You can put yourself in a position you should be in. But see, if your soul prospers, if God's Word dwells in you as your soul prospers, you'll not do those things. He says, you're to prosper in all things in this life as your soul prospers. You're to be in health. You'll take care of your bodies to the best of your ability. It's not going to eliminate you from sickness, such as cancer and stuff. But it will eliminate you from a lot of other things that are harmful to you. And so are we good stewards of our body? We will be if our soul prospers. And so, again, the rule or measure of both of these is as your soul prospers. And so you'll be a good steward if your soul prospers. So if you're not daily growing in God's Word and learning the patterns in your life that we are to follow, then your soul is not prospering. You're going to make bad decisions. You're going to be under the attitude, well, this is mine, I earned it. But if your soul prospers, you'll always give praise and glory to God who allowed you to use those things for His glory. And so we have a misunderstanding. The soul that prospers will be without sin. Not that you won't sin, but sin will not dwell in you. Okay? If that soul prospers, it will be a wholesome soul. Always in good health. In that, sin will not reign in your mortal body. If sin's in your body, your body's not going to prosper. You'll do those things that are detrimental to your body. That's what it's having an application to, not the sicknesses and so on. To prosper, we must have a sincere desire for the Word that guides us in all aspects of our life. And we must continue to feed and nourish our souls and grow each day. That's going to determine whether you're a good steward or not. In all aspects of life, we'll always do the right, what is right in respect to the things God has placed us in charge of. And we need to keep that God has given this to us. And He's placed us in charge of His creation. All creation. That involves the animals, the environment, whatever you want to put in there. Okay? 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. Peter there says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any one minister, let him do with his the ability which God supplies, and all things that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and forever. If we speak, whatever we do in life as a steward, we're going to speak how? In doing that, we're good stewards. But not only the things that we speak, that our speech must be followed by the actions that what we speak, we believe. Okay? And so it is a continual, it's a continual thing. It's a continual daily walk. You've got patterns for your job, as a wife, as a husband, whatever you put in there for your relation to government, or relation to one another, or relations to brothers and sisters in Christ. You've got all those relationships that falls under this stewardship. And so we must know, to be a good steward and all that God has placed us in charge is, we must know then God's patterns for these things, that they will be in our life. What's the danger for not being a good steward? Okay, thoughtful. Somebody else say something?
soul.
Eventually lose your soul. And I think that's a good point. When you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, someone read verses 1 through 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as it is from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition.
It says in verse 3, Paul does here, unless what comes first? A falling away or of apostasy, you know. And again, this falling away or this apostasy of which Paul here speaks of, that's long taken place. He said it would come then. It started then. But what would cause apostasy? Why would one go apostatize or fall away?
Well, it's in verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped.
Right. It's this idea of that the growth, the prospering of the soul does not take place, and the prospering of the soul does not take place, what's going to happen? You'll be falling away. I think here Paul is dealing with that of the development of Catholicism, and Mark points out in verse 4 that exalts himself. Paul, you have this beginning as Paul is writing here, so you see the extent that we're at now in the world as far as all the doctrines and denominationalism and so on. So the danger of not knowing as good stewards God's patterns in our life is going to lead to apostasy. And so we must study daily. Our soul must prosper as our body prospered with daily food. That we continue to know those things. They can no longer endure sound doctrine. Let me, this apostasy that deals with here is a broad movement. It's completely getting away from a pattern of God. Okay? It's not, well, a practice or an opinion, such as eating the meat or something. He's completely getting away from a pattern of God. That's what apostasy is. You leave that pattern and you establish your own pattern. And so when you look at Catholicism, they no longer honor the God of heaven, but it's completely getting away. When you look at denominations as far as the pattern of worship, it's completely gotten away from on that. So it's a widespread change in regarding the New Testament authority that's shown in attitudes and practice. What led to those? Souls not prospering. The study of God's Word not there. Today we may claim to respect the will and revelation of Jesus Christ, yet we may be drifting away ourselves either knowingly or unknowingly. And again, you're drifting away if you're not, your soul is not prospering each day. And that sincere desire to be a good steward, as Peter talks about, if any man speak, let him speak as oracles of God, and leave it at that. But that does not happen. And so the danger of not being a good steward is apostasy or falling away. It could happen to the church here. It could happen anywhere. So God has given us that charge that we would be good stewards of His Word. Anyone familiar with religious history knows that people have always deviated from the revealed Word of God. Look at Matthew chapter 12. And this, Christ in the destruction, he's dealing with the Pharisees in verse 38, seeking a sign. He talked about there would be no sign given, but that which was given to Jonah and the people of Nineveh. He said the people of Nineveh, upon hearing Jonah's word, repented. And so if someone read verses 43 through 45, that's kind of the context of what's said here.
When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation.
So what is Christ teaching you in this? In context, that when one obeys the gospel, becomes a steward of the things that God has given him, what if he does not exercise or his soul prospers? What happens?
You revert back to a situation worse than it was to begin with.
You fall away from that. You don't replace those things that should have been taken out of that. And so it enters back in. You keep the same old course of life. And so you cannot be, your soul is not proper, and you cannot be a good steward as you should be. Hebrews 2 and verse 1 says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. So the necessity of being a good steward requires that our souls prosper. If we don't, our souls does not prosper, and we're going to drift away from the things we've been taught. And that's the teaching of Matthew chapter 12. So that's a warning given. To be a good steward, soul must prosper. Today, churches are filled with progressive ideas. They have their own thoughts of how God's word should be spread or whatever. And again, all these just stem from a lack of respect for what God has told us to do. When you look at denominations, and as we mentioned before in some of our classes, in the Church of Christ, instrumental music has been introduced as a form of worship. And church organizations, not according to the New Testament pattern. And a lot of things that God has given as far as patterns is not being followed. When you look at marriage, that aspect of God's pattern, that one man, one woman, that, you have that accepted today. So that pattern is not being followed. It may be a lot of other. When you look at so much on the job, even, the people and their attitude towards their job and those who they are to be in subjection to on the job, the continual fuss and cursing. If they don't know, they just, on this. That pattern that God has given us in all aspects of our life. How we treat one another as husband and wife. How we treat one another as brothers and sisters. Sometimes churches are divided, bickering, and go on. It goes on because our soul's not prospering. We're not speaking as the oracles of God. Missionary society is being promoted as a way to spread the gospel. But yet the pattern is that each one of us as Christians are to go into the world and preach. I'm not to give my responsibility to go do it, or to Cheryl. She is not to fulfill my role as a husband. And I don't need to try to be a wife in a house and take that responsibility. But many times, women are running the home and making their husband think they're still in control when they're not. Patterns are not being followed. And so you're not being a good steward. And again, a lot of these dates back to the 1800s. The common practice in the past 25 years has been that the church cooperation, we help one another. We'll send donations to local other congregations who will perform a TV or a radio program. That's not God's pattern. And again, your soul is not prospering. The church here, if we do that, our soul's not prospering. If it were, then God's pattern for what he tells us on how the local here is to spread the gospel would be followed. But a lot of giving up that responsibility that God has placed upon, if you want to put it in a local congregation. And so God's not going to prosper us in any way because we're not being the steward that we should be. Increasing emphasis has been placed upon church-sponsored social and recreation activity. And brothers and sisters, it's not limited to denominations. Even the churches of Christ now are doing that pattern. And so when God looks down upon that local, and I'm reminded of some of the words that Donnie has preached from the seven churches of Asia, and he might have good things to say about us, but there's also some things he'll hold against local congregations like that. And again, these thoughts or ideas was unknown in the New Testament. The social gospel has meaning to lead people to Christ, offering activities. Even preaching today is taking on a different emphasis. There's no longer preaching totally the God's word, no preaching of hell, that which condemns. It's the idea when Lowell and Barb comes, I'm going to make them feel so good for being here today, they won't be mad at me. That was not Jesus, and Jesus was a steward of his Father. We need to keep that in mind. He said, I come about to do my Father's business. He was a steward. The Father entrusted. And we're going to look at that word more. To entrust or to commit all things into his hand. 1 Corinthians 15 says, when this world ends, he's going to give that back to the Father, which he gave him. So we're all stewards. And when we stand before God in judgment, we're going to stand before him as stewards in this life. Less respect for God's pattern has been shown today. Less respect is being shown by denying any binding New Testament pattern. People say, we don't have a pattern for that. We don't have to do that. Folks, there's a pattern for everything we do. Don't let people mislead you that we have no pattern for things. There is pattern. God has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. I cannot be in doubt how I should do anything in this life as a steward of God. Because he has revealed all those things to me. Organizations, there's doors being opened to extend fellowship even by the churches of Christ's denominations. Allowing denomination preachers to come and preach in a pulpit of one that claims to stand upon the truth, but yet don't. And that's taking more place. It's just this idea of unity and diversity that denominations and such has pushed for so long. It's kind of like that little child that won't push, wants a toy. To shut him up, you'll bite. It's the same thing with the churches of Christ. This has been drilled and drilled and drilled. Instead of just defending the truth and going on, they'll accept it. And so God's pattern, the apostasy, comes. And again, are we being good stewards of God's pattern, not only as a local congregation, but as individuals? And if we're good stewards individuals, this local will be of that. And the work, the patterns that it is designed for the local congregation to do. If I have any questions, that's just kind of an introduction on it.
It's amazing, all three of those circumstances you just presented, there's two of those circumstances in Athens, and then one in Tennessee. In Athens, we have a Central Church of Christ that has built their gymnasium, has built their kitchens and everything else that goes along with it, and to promote getting kids there, teach them, and in their words, to teach them the gospel. A lot of that don't go on. In doing so, they also set up their own, as the Pharisees did, their own ways of doing things, throwing away God's word. For an example, they have eldership. You can be an elder for 8 years. Once that's done, then you have to resign as an elder. And this, the reason was because they see men that are elders that shouldn't be elders anymore. But that was their reasoning for changing that. Well, it's not written anywhere in God's word. There's no authority for that. But yet they take it upon themselves to do that. Another congregation that's there at 7 Mile Post Road in Athens. It's unfortunately, it's went off to where there's nothing preached about sin. It's all more about feeling, more about emotion. And they have groups come in and sing for them. They have what's called the praise team. And these are from members that used to be members of the church that started this, which is a shame. And then, of course, there's the services in Tennessee now that promote a female preacher who preached there.
Folks, you may not know, but I can remember some of the older days. One time, the churches in Tennessee and Alabama were some of the most conservative locals that they ever were. And you see what happens. So don't think that we deceive ourselves that Satan is not working here. Okay? So that, you know, good points. That's what happens. Again, we're not being good stewards and our souls prosper. The souls prosper and you don't have a problem with patterns. You can't say, well, why this or why that? You just accept it. That's what God as a steward does. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. So God has ownership over all things because he is the creator. And it's necessary that we understand this again from the beginning or nothing else will line up. No, it's not mine. As a little boy would say, oh boy, this is mine, oh boy, this is mine. It's God's. And so we have no right or say-so in nothing except what the oracles of God dictate us as stewards to do. The fact that God has created everything, all rights belong to him. He is the owner of even our souls and our bodies, of everything that we see. In Genesis 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Again, keep this in mind. God created all things. And here's what he said concerning man. All things, this ownership that he has over all things. Let them have dominion over the fish. We're to have dominion. We're to be stewards over the fish of the sea, over the birds of, the air, over all cattle, all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Man is to be stewardship of that. Okay? Sometimes you don't hear, but, you know, you go out and kick a dog. That being a good steward. But at the same time, God would order the killing of thousands of animals in the Old Testament. So how do you look at that? But yet, if you go out and kick a dog for no reason, is that being a good steward over things that God has placed you over?
One's trying to attack you, you probably won't do something.
Well, I'm just saying, but as we go through this, you know, what's the difference? Why would God at times command thousands of things to be killed? Okay? And then turn around and say, they don't say, but it falls under, I think, common sense. I'm a steward, that you don't abuse certain things. If you look at that, the earth, you know, he's given us dominion with things upon the earth, this green thing that goes on, you know, are we trying to preserve clean air? Are we trying to do all this as stewards of God's Word? Well, we want to look at some of that and what determines what we do versus what the world says that. You know, you have animal activists. You have people that hunt will get out and won't let you hunt because they go out there and they'll protest. Is there anything wrong going killing, you know, deer, birds, mark likes to hunt, this? Or can it be in such that it's abuse?
A lot of activists put their activism in front of God.
There's a reason we need to look, you know, of how they view animals. It's one thing, okay? Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Again, this idea of be fruitful and multiply as a pattern. Okay? And subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb. Again, this idea, what has God given us? The birds, the fish, the very thing he's given them. But in that, we're the stewards of it. You know? Me and her to grow the garden, and look what we've done. God gave the increase to everything we do. Okay? And when I eat that, it's because God gave it to me. Okay? And so I'm to be stewards over that. Every green herb yields seed, which is on the face of the earth. Every tree, fruit, whose fruit yields to you, has been given as stewards as food for you to eat. And so we are to preserve those things as far as this, these trees, these herbs, that the preservation, that's a steward, that God has given us that law. And we do those things that pertain to that. Also, to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given evergreen herb for food. And then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So kind of keep this in mind. Don't be like the little boy. Everything that you see, touch, smell, see, or whatever, is God's. And even in an abusing of an animal, you will be judged because God has placed you under that. How we deal with the environment, we will give an account for it because God has placed that as stewardship to us. We'll stop there. Any thoughts?
You mentioned about entitlements. Think of something Papa was told us. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. We commanded when we view this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. A lot of folks don't know that verse.
They don't know that verse.